everyone. Welcome to the Worship Artistry Podcast. My name is Jason Houtsman. With me, Mr. Dan Ornelas. We're back, baby.
Well, yeah, we are. We're back. We're older and wiser.
Well, we're definitely older. I know. I mean, you've been working about 1,000 hours a day, if that was possible. Yeah. And and my body craziness. Just keeps falling apart. So yeah, we're definitely older. I don't know if we're wiser.
Yeah, probably not wiser. Let's be honest. We're just older.
Hey, how you like that? How you like the new intro music? What do you think?
My gosh, good job, man! You must have been. Did you spend the whole summer doing that?
I did.
It sounds
all
amazing.
I've done.
It sounds amazing.
That's all I've done. Well, you know, it's
good
funny.
Job.
The funny thing is the background music that's on right now. I was like, okay, I just need something kind of chill for behind us. And so I tracked it, and I just was like cutting and pasting pieces, and then eventually it's 22 minutes long. I'm like, I'm not gonna run out of this. I'm just gonna make it keep going. And the other day it came on because it was just like in a mix of stuff, and I swear I listened to the whole thing because I was just grooving the whole time.
Wow, dude, you know what you're doing, man. You must be using Worship Artistry to learn how to play guitar. Because
well,
you sound
really,
amazing.
It's the bass lessons, actually, that are really helping me.
Okay. I'm with you.
It's harder to play bass, man. As a guitar player, I think we always have the idea that, it's just a 4-string or a 5-string guitar or whatever. But yeah. the touch of it is very different.
Oh, it really is, man. It really is. And you can tell, especially when guys are quite proficient or they really know their way around the neck on electric, so they're like shredders or like lead players, and so they know where the notes are, so they can go to them easily, but it's how you get to them that counts on bass,
right? It's a different way of thinking, and it's it's just such a different deal. So let's catch up a little bit. Why don't we catch the people up on what you're doing? I mean, for all I know, you're out on a battleship on your way to Afghanistan or something. I don't know. You're all over the place. Somehow still getting me lessons.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Well, for all of us, I think for everybody, it's been the craziest year. I think we're well into COVID when we finished the podcast last time. We were talking about stuff and thinking how crazy it is. But here we are, in October, and still crazy, walking around with masks on our faces the whole time, and then also obviously for the music people like myself, and all of the events that we normally do, where we go and spend these really cool times with groups of people doing amazing corporate fundraising stuff, all of those people are the folks that normally come to those events are more at risk kind of people, because they're usually older folks that have kind of retired and have a lot of money and they want to support ministry and stuff. So they've decided, hey, we're not coming to another group, we'll be around a bunch of other people that got flown all the way across America to be there. So most of those events kind of tanked out on me, and that was a large part of my income for the year. So my wife and I were saying, well, what are we going to do? We need to do something. And I had a buddy that actually does, he's actually a contractor, like a building contractor. And he'd gone up to do a course to become an insurance adjuster, and he'd run down to the coast and done a couple of hurricanes. And, for those people that don't know what an insurance adjuster is, he's the guy that writes up all the damage on your house and kind of works out how to pay you for all the stuff that's gone wrong in your home if we're during a big storm or a cause of loss, like a fire or whatever it is. So myself and a friend of mine, it's actually my wife's friend's dad, who's a civil engineer. He's just retired, and he's like, I'll go with you to go do that course. So we went down to Texas and got our license in July for all lines adjusters license, and then straight into there, we jumped into this business, and I was up in Iowa for almost 2.5 months, and now I'm in Lafayette, Louisiana for the Delta storm that's down here, and I'm just helping folks get put back together again. And it's a big change. I mean, this is a massive right turn for me. I've only ever done music since I've been in the States, so in the last almost 20 years. And so now I'm getting on roofs and measuring measuring rooms and working out whether, what kind of shingles there are and how to pay people for this stuff. So it's been a big growth curve, but it's kind of really cool. It's kind of really hardcore blue collar work, which is different from just, you know, playing a few songs on a weekend and then lying by the pool.
That is quite different. But you're still doing ministry. I mean, you're still showing up to people who are in a total mess and coming up and giving them money, right? Like, essentially,
absolutely.
You're like, you're basically, you're just being Jesus to them in their need through, there. So you through, only know how to minister.
Yeah, it's true. I'm just being Jesus to them through State Farm or Allstate or whoever it is that I'm working for.
Hey, man, provision is provision.
That's
the
true,
Lord,
man.
The Lord uses many things to provide. And I have to say, I think if my house had just been destroyed in a storm, I think I would be very excited. I feel like if you were the one that showed up, it would be way better than most. I think you would leave and I'd have a smile on my face. I'd be like, I trust that guy.
Unless you have a deductible like the people down here that have, like, this one dude I saw yesterday had a $23,000 deductible.
Oh.
So even though I replaced his whole roof, he probably only came away with like $700.
Oh.
Then they hate you no matter who you are and how sweet you are and how much you love the Lord.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, it's interesting. You got to have a thick skin, and you know, I've only ever really, the last years, been around music people or ministry people, and you know, everyone's got like a, you're gonna have to be nice to each other for some reason. But with this business, you know, you get to see all sides of people, so it's quite an education.
Well, I think the miracle is that you've still been getting me bass lessons mostly on time, which is crazy to me.
Well, this is the interesting part, is that when I go home from running around up here, when I pick up my bass, it feels like, you know, it's you're falling in love all over again. Whereas when you just do music for a living, you know, music sometimes can be like a hard taskmaster because you've got to pay the bills and you kind of can resent the fact that you might not have what you need to do that. But when it's not the thing you're leaning on for your income, it's actually really cool because then you find the reason why you liked it again for some, you know. It's kind of a cool thing. And I think it's like that for people that are worship pastors or people that are involved in that, and you make your income from the thing that you really fell in love with. It's good to be able to either step away from it for a second and re-fall in love with it, or just to realize, hey, you know, this is really something I love doing, and not lose sight of that as well, even though it's what's, you know, providing for you.
Yeah, I know. I actually have a tendency to, like, a while back, I don't know, a few years ago, I may have talked about this on the podcast before, but like, I definitely had a very intentional moment where I decided I need to make music fun again for me. Like, mm-hmm. where it's not just work, where it actually kind of stokes that passionate part of me. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it is like teaching the lessons on worship artistry. Like, I love doing it. It's a gift. My favorite thing is interacting with people. I love that we get to equip people and help people feel confident with the music that they're playing on Sunday and how they serve and all that sort of thing. But the actual... Mm-hmm. The actual production of it, I mean, it can be like an assembly line, right? It's like, okay, this song done, all right, on to the next song, on to the next song, yep, on to the next yep. song. And so, and you don't even get, sometimes there's songs that come through that are actually really great songs that I miss out on because by the time I'm done playing them and teaching them, I'm just like, I hate this song. And then I come back to it 6 months later and I'm like, wow, that was a great song. Why haven't I been using this whole time, you know? But like forcing yeah. myself to actually like step out of that and go, you know what, I'm going to like, I actually made a book of lyrics of just like a bunch of cover songs, like a binder. And I just started going through and finding lyrics. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to sing these around the house just for fun.
That is awesome.
That's all I want to do. So it's like when it's, you know, especially it always kind of hits in the summertime. I always want to sit outside and it's like, all right, here's my 50 songs that I like to sing and play around with. And it just kind of then reinvigorates going to teach, and it reinvigorates leading worship, and I get inspired musically to do things differently with worship because I'm not just listening to worship songs. You know, I'm actually yep. listening to different kinds of stuff, which
yeah,
leads
really
me,
cool.
which leads me to our guest today.
And who is that?
Still Let's got it. Still got it. I am they.
Oh my gosh! Awesome.
If you've ever listened to them, you know we have a number of their songs on our website, and. And they're great. One of my favorite songs to teach was My Feet Are on the Rock. Was a blast to play. It's mm-hmm. Super fun. I'm posting some stuff on Instagram so you can kind of see what it looks like. But that lesson is a blast because the songs are just really different. You know, they're not that quote unquote like worship sound. They really kind of have a somewhat of a country feel to them. They have, but they're very like, they are still very worship focused. Like it doesn't feel like they're shoehorning a style of, you know, shoehorning worship lyrics into a different style of music. It feels like it's very natural. And they're a great group of folks. So we actually got to, sit down with three of them. So let's go ahead and listen to I Am They.
Did you say Iron Man?
Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hey, here we are.
We made it. Yeah. Getting through all the problems, and we are here, and it's going to be so worth it. So, so guys, I'm super stoked to talk to you guys. This is actually one of my first podcast interviews back in a while. We take going by season, so sorry if it's a little rusty. But I'm really excited to speak with you guys, specifically because I love how your guys' music, you know, we teach a lot of music on Worship Artistry. We teach all the top songs. And yours has I get excited when I'm going to do one of yours. Because as you can imagine, when you do a lot of songs by a lot of the top artists, there's like certain sounds to them. And it's nice to have a break from that and get something kind of unique. So I wanted to ask you first, just how you guys got together and actually developed your musical sound.
Yeah, we all just kind of looking at a minute ago, we started as a small worship team. We didn't have enough people in one church to actually put a full band together in our little town. And so we reached out to multiple churches in our area to put together a functioning worship band and host what we intended on being one night of worship. And then that ultimately turned into I Am They. Little did we know we'd get the opportunity to open for, you know, Matthew West or Brandon Heath, some of these guys that were influential in our story and reached out to their record labels or whatever. We had the opportunity to go track a song in Nashville, and that in turn led to meeting some of the record labels in town. But all of that to say, man, we just started in a living room. Some of our first records that we put together were, I remember, just right in the front room of our house and of one of our houses. And everything that we've, since written has all been very acoustic in nature. I think just as a derivative of that, just like the way that we function and form music has always been just really raw. Very acoustic driven. And then also we've always had three vocals in the band. And so we have me, Brandon, and Abby now as vocalists. And so we can trade lead or we can, you know, harmonize. It's really fun to write because you can kind of go anywhere and do anything because, well, if I can't sing it, Abby can sing it. And, you know, like, Brandon, you take this one. Like, it's just kind of liberating that way. So, and it works really well with worship teams, you know, and in churches, because a lot of times that's the way church band is set up. You know, it's like we got a guy and a girl vocal and ladies are going to lead this one or guys going to lead this one or whatever it may be. So, yeah, it's kind of how that works for us.
Yeah, it's a really cool, it's a cool image because, I mean, it is funny with a lot of the music comes out. We also do vocal tutorials where we're doing the harmonies. I know that Shelby is like amped up to do some of your tunes because of all the harmonizing and everything. But yeah, it's funny how, when you think about how pop music is, right, where you might have like one harmony or like one vocal, most church teams have, you know, five, I've been in ones where there's, you know, five vocalists on stage and you're like, what do we do with all these guys? You know, I could use another guitar player. I could use a little help here, but, you know, so yeah. Actually it really forms together and it comes together great. So if you guys just got together for like a one night of worship initially, I'm assuming you were doing other people's songs, or did you just start off right? So how did you make the jump from like, okay, this is great, we all sound great crushing this song, let's write some of our own? How did you make that move?
Man, back in that in that day. So Abby and Brandon have joined the band kind of since. And so, but I was around for the inception of the band, if you will. And so, you know, back when we first got to start as I Am They, we were writing music, but it wasn't necessarily what you would refer to as I Am They music, or what you would, you know, coin as I Am They music now. But we all, again, were worship leaders, just a heartbeat of worship, loved and were serving in the church. And that was just what we were doing. And so all of that just kind of flowed out of, you know, some of the other ways that we, other things that we picked up on in our songwriting, even if we weren't writing a worship, quote unquote, worship song, if you will. But yeah, and then ultimately we had the opportunity to open for Matthew West, and that was like the first big thing that we got. The, you know, there was a promoter in town. Matthew was coming to Reno, Nevada, and he's like, "You want to open?" And we were like, oh dang, we should write music. And so that was our big like fire under the butt kind of deal, like, let's go write some songs. And so we did that, and then, you know, that just kind of set us in course as far as, you know, writing worship music and songs more geared for the church.
So how do you balance being creative? Because I would say it's interesting actually teaching your guys' songs, because it's never just like, all right, just kind of strum this thing here and add that guitar lick here. It's always like, all right, okay, what are we going to do? Okay, well, this one's in this. Okay, I'm going to go drop D, and then I'm going to capo up high, and then we're going to leave this one open so we can make this work so people don't have to retune, but they can still make it happen. Like, there's clearly an art to what you guys are doing. How do you balance art and function? Like, how do you say, this is a song that people can sing, that they want to sing and will be compelled to sing, and at the same time will still be fun to sing?
Yeah. Well, Abby, maybe you can speak into even like some of the melodies and stuff that we write.
Yeah. I think
we have a lot of times the church in mind, you know, as far as trying to create anthems and things like that, that are easier to connect with. But I think also, and Abby's incredible at this, just bringing like this unique melody and sense of melody into our songs, that we don't just want to like, I guess, live on that ground floor level of like, church music needs to be, you know, just super whatever you want to call it. Like, just,
you get three intervals. You get three intervals.
Yeah. It doesn't have to all be such fruit, you know, like, let's level up kind of deal.
I was gonna say almost the opposite of that, Matt, but just in the sense, hang with me. I think because we started, each of us, even Brandon and myself, even though we joined the band later, we were worship leaders as well at different times in our lives. And we know the songs that we looked forward to playing, but also we aren't like Nashville session musicians. And when I say that, I mean, we're not the most crazy riffing talented people out there. Like, we're musicians, that's our job, and we take it seriously, but at the same time, we're not we're not virtuosos. So I think the fact that we work hard at what we do, but you know, we're not crazy over the top, is what makes our music relatable. I might say. But also, I mean, yeah, just having been worship leaders, we know what the fun songs are to play and lead, and we try to kind of capture the spirit of that. I think, like, okay, what would make the start of a really fun worship set? Would it be like a huge downbeat and then some big declarative statement? And that's how we started off this most recent record, because we know that that's going to be fun to do in a worship setting.
Very cool. So do you guys, when you're, what do you pick up from being on the road? You know, I think, like, I know for myself, you know, I lead worship at my own church. I write songs for my church. But it's always interesting to see what other people are doing and get in different environments. Like, do you guys still lead at your home churches, or are you mainly doing the road thing right now? I guess nobody's doing the road thing right now because of COVID, but yeah. maybe imagine, let's, let's not mention COVID and just imagine like a year ago when things were great. What kind of things did you like? Do you guys still lead at home? And then what kind of things do you pick up from being on the road? Let's hear from Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, we've actually kind of started hitting the road again, which is really, really cool and nice. So we actually all go to different churches around town. And I think that's also really cool and kind of part of our identity as a band, of just being being diverse in our own ways, but coming together and being a collective group. And that's kind of like the whole message of our band is unity in diversity. And so it's kind of cool, you know, we're all at different churches. And I think, you know, from time to time, we'll lead at our, you know, maybe like respective like home groups or Bible studies, a part of our churches. But none of us are currently like the head worship leaders at any of the churches that we're at, which is both, I think, really like refreshing. Because, you know, I think it's, you have to find a balance of, you know, receiving as well as pouring out. And I know there's been times in my life where I've been too on one side of that, where I'm only pouring out and not really receiving. And those have been some of the toughest moments in my life of, you know, just kind of feeling like I'm giving more than I have to give, and I'm not getting anything back. And, you know, I think that can be a dangerous place to live in. But having the ability to just go to church and attend and just receive and just get filled up gives you so much more to be able to go out. And, you know, especially being on the road and traveling, I think it takes a little bit of an extra, a little bit of extra juice in the tank to really just face the uncertainties of on the road. Like, you don't know what the venue is going to be like. You don't know what kind of issues you're going to run into, technical, whatever, that can easily just kind of throw a cog in the wheel. But, you know, just having your spirit filled and renewed at your own church to be able to take that spirit and just allow God to use you on the road and your traveling ministry, I think it's so important and vital. And I think it's really awesome that we all have that, and we're all getting poured into from different churches and receiving different words. And it just kind of all, we're bringing that spirit and that unity together.
And I think also just to say, I think one, in Nashville, you don't always have, like, as far as worship goes, there's so many musicians and so many people, you know, like I know at my church, it's like, that's covered. But they're like, hey, you want to like go work in the parking lot, or you want to like go, I work in the kids ministry or whatever. Like if I'm here on a weekend or whatever, then I'm here, our churches have been closed or whatever. But I go work in the kids ministry because that's the need, you know? So I think that all of us too, like just have, want to be able to serve in the church, want to be able to serve in some way or some regard. But yeah, I know it's definitely different now living in Nashville, which is where we all live now, than maybe our hometowns, where it was like, you know, again, like I said, we didn't have enough people even to form a full band in our church. So it was like they were desperate for worship leaders kind of deal. So, so it's a little different here.
What's that transition been like for you guys? Because going from kind of a smaller environment to something so much bigger. I mean, I know every time I come to Nashville, I always call it Nash Vegas. I'm just like, it's just, there's just so much going on, and every person you meet is like the best musician you probably ever ran into. And like all the churches are huge, which is, I live in the Pacific Northwest. Like that is not the world that I live in at all. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe we'll get two people on the worship team this week. You know, like we'll see if we can make it happen. So how has that transition been for you guys, going from kind of a smaller environment to such a big church world?
Yeah, and I mean, Brandon, Brandon's part of a kind of smaller church plant too. So I mean, as many churches as there are out here, I kind of say like it's like Starbucks out here. There's just a church on every corner, and I know Brandon, there's still a lot of church plants, believe it or not. And so Brandon's part of a really cool smaller church outside of Nashville.
No, I was just going to say, Matt lives out in the country outside of Nashville. So if you ever hear a little delay in his voice, that's why.
Sorry.
No worries.
Yeah, but it's been really good for us as a church. And I think big or small, I think that the thing that I desire in a church is just life. Mm. Just like, you know, you just want passion, just like in anything. And if the church is alive, there's growth. And our church started not too long ago, a few years ago, but it's alive. And man, I love that my kids love it. My kids have an active faith and they put it into practice. And, you know, that's all I want. I don't really mind if it's small or big or whatever. I'm just looking for something or some people that want to go out and, you know, put their faith into action and, you know, activate what God has put inside of them. So.
How about for you, Abby and Brandon? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I think being in a creative town, you know, I love to think of like when I think about creativity, when I think about music and art and all of that, you know, you can't help but think about how God is the ultimate creator, right? He created us. He created us with the capacity to be able to create. And I think there's just something special in a city like Nashville with all these different creative minds, you know, coming together in one place and seeking God's face and bringing their own creativity and what the gifts and strengths that God's given them and just kind of combining all of that together, not for someone's individual, you know, agenda or whatever, but to glorify the kingdom and to just come together and just create something that's different and unique. And so I've definitely found that here in Nashville in a way that I've never really experienced from where I'm from in Texas. And you know, I think it creates just like a really awesome environment where creativity flows. And you know, I think where creativity is, the Lord's not far from that. And so it's been really cool to be a part of a community where even though there's so many churches, I haven't experienced any like competition. And I think that's, you know, that's just a huge and important thing. You know, I come from kind of Bible Belt area as well in Texas. And it felt like there were a lot of little cliques and a lot of different, you know, secluded groups or whatever. And sure, like there's going to be that everywhere and that there's a little bit of that in Nashville, but just kind of overall, like the music community and the worship community, it's like pretty welcoming and inviting. And I just think, you know, I'm grateful for that. And it's just been a cool experience to be in a city where that's welcome.
That's awesome. Well, tell me a little bit about your song, Faithful God. This is the first single off your new record, off an album of the same name. And as I understand it, there's actually, the story was very much influenced by somebody you knew who was going through cancer, who had some celebrations and this journey that you were following, as well as setbacks. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Different times, also a bunch of setbacks. And on that particular day, we went in to write a song. She had posted that it had come back. It was worse than ever. There was maybe a treatment, but maybe not. And maybe she only had a couple months left. But she literally posted, "My story isn't over." And she just kind of declared that and spoke that over her own life. And then she posted a verse too. And it said, "Against all odds, even when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it." And she did kind of that classic. I love when a pastor does this. They're like, put your name in parentheses next to this. And she did that. She put Jane in parentheses, believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. And she said, you know, I'm staking everything on this faith. And that just overrode our entire writing session that day. We started writing an up-tempo song, but it just wasn't feeling right. And then we came back to the story of Jane and her faith. And we actually just wrote down some of the exact things she said. You know, I'm staking my claim on this. Against all odds, you are faithful. My story isn't over. So we literally took inspiration from her faith and put it right into that song. And I think it spoke through powerfully, because even though that was one person's circumstance, gosh, we've all been through something in our lives where we needed to be sure that there is something bigger than us, that we have a God who is more powerful than any circumstance in our lives. Amazingly, incredibly, Jane was recently able to celebrate a victory in that she's cancer-free now. They say that wow. it's forever this time. It's incredible. It's so amazing to learn that. But when we talk about this song, we say, you know, we know that is not the story for every person. That is not how it ends up. But it's not the fact that Jane was healed that is the inspiration. It is the veracity and the certainty of her faith when she was facing impossible circumstances that inspires us. And there's another verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that consistency in the character of God, that makes it just absolutely easy and compelling to put our faith, all of our faith, our whole lives on that faithful God.
That's amazing. It's incredible when God teaches you something before you get to see the result. You know, like there's those songs out there that are like, you know, victory and faith. And it's like when that's written in the moment, like after, like it's an amazing celebration. But it's like when that gets to actually be written in the dark time and, you know, like I believe this, whatever the response is, whatever the outcome is, I still have faith in God. It's just so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about you guys? Has that been kind of is that a story thread that's kind of been going through your lives as well?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Just, I mean, that's why we ended up being the title track of this next record is just the faithfulness of God. And, you know, our last record was called Trial and Triumph. There was a song called Scars on that record that mm-hmm. just talked about, you know, that was kind of the soundtrack of our lives at the time and just what we had walked through individually and collectively. And now kind of being a little bit on the other side of that and feeling like, man, a lot of the things that maybe were looming or, you know, we were unsure of the future, that kind of thing. Like we've seen God's faithfulness, obviously through the history of our story. But just even in this season, it's just really come to surface, like Gabby said, just the character of God. And so those are the things that just naturally started surfacing in our songwriting was just like, there's a lot of hope, a lot of life, a lot of just celebration and excitement, because I feel like we just feel like we're kind of in a new season, a new day as a band. And so that you'll definitely hear on a lot of these songs as well. But there are these songs that were written like Faithful God. There's another song called Lift My Eyes that's out right now that was another song that started just out of some real stories, like people that were close to us that had sudden and tragic, you know, deaths in their families or and just leave a lot of questions, you know, and like real kind of wrestlings and just natural questions and pleas and prayers kind of come out of that place. And I think it's important to put those into words because, you know, more times, maybe more than the victories we as humans, we experience the other side of that, which is the wrestling and the and the persevering and the endurance and that sort of thing. So, but it's good to definitely hold on to hope in all of that, to know, you know, even as the Bible says that through endurance, you know, we're made complete and not lacking anything. God is building our character to be more like His through those things. So.
Well, I'm so grateful you guys are doing what you're doing. It's, you know, it's kind of it's a unique sound, and at the same time, like, having those songs that are built off of authentic story, I think it's so important to understand where those come from. You know, they're not just empty words. They're like, no, this actually happened. This is actually somebody I know. And I think as worship leaders, a lot of times it's our job to know what's going on in our community and what's going on in our congregation, and knowing, you know what, like, what can Jane sing right now? You know, like, what's something she can sing right now, or what, like, that's so important. And so for you guys to be giving us songs that are well-written and at the same time really give us that meaning, give us that expression, I think is really powerful. So I just thank you guys for doing that. And thank you for joining us. It's super great to have you.
Thank you, man. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, thank you.
Man, Jason, it's incredible when you hear the story behind a song, and it brings so much more meaning to the lyric and to the whole feeling of the song. And even just, you know, this band is reaching far and wide. I've got a friend that's a pastor in South Africa, and he was, you know, he just texted me the other day and said, "Hey, have you heard of I Am They?" So he's a big fan, and it's amazing to see how good songs they kind of manage to reach people's hearts all over the world. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing they really have to work on is their grammar. I mean, I am they. And it'd be like, we are them. We are they.
I've made the mistake by calling it we the people, right? Haven't I?
No. Oh, yeah. No, you do that for we the kingdom.
Okay, so I'm they and we are the. I'm they and we the kingdom. Those are all the same kind of problem. We should start a band called Me Are Dyslexic, and we can win the whole thing.
That's not a bad idea. Like,
or we can start one called And the Yes.
Yeah, and we can all sing songs about dog.
It's amazing. I like the dyslexic atheist. What's it? The dyslexic atheist insomniac. he lies awake at night wondering if there's a dog up there.
Well, anyway, we might be a little rusty, but Daniel, what time is it?
Oh my gosh, it's time for member mail. Hit it.
Yeah, so you'll notice I didn't change this music because I don't think I'm ever going to change this music. I just love it too much. It doesn't work. If you say hit it and different music comes on, it's just going to be, it's going to be too much.
It's too much. They'll get raptured. People get raptured if it's too good.
Yeah. So today's member mail, I actually reached out to our members guitarist group and was just like, hey, you guys got any questions for us? And I got a bunch here. So I'm going to go with Dustin Beeman, who simply asked the question, why introduce a new song now if you won't still be playing it in a few years? Do you play every song? Do you play every song all the time forever?
No, but let me tell you something. When I was 16, I had a mullet and I was so cool right there. That I thought, but would I wear a mullet today? No, but was it cool then? Absolutely was cool then.
And it was meaningful, right?
It was. And you can't put God in a box. And not to say that God is a, you know, fad, and there's times where, you know, there's fashion, but the body of, you know, just like everything in life, there's seasons for things. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having a song that has a season and a time, you know, in your church at all. I mean, some songs, I mean, if you just sing hymns, I think it can get very tiring if you sing the same hymn over and over again too. I think that, you know, that's why they wrote those hymns, because there was stuff before that was like, oh gosh, this sucks, let's do something different. So I think there's, you know, there's always going to be things that are going to change, and there's going to be certain songs that will always be the bedrock of your faith, and that can always be pulled out of the bag and work. But like, once you've heard stuff enough, it's still music, and it's still going to wear thin on you eventually. And like, even like if you have a really good meal, it's like saying, why should we eat Thai food tonight if we're not going to eat Thai food the rest of our lives?
I would eat Thai food for the rest of my life.
That's also a bad example. Or sushi. But like, if I eat curry today, and I love curry, I probably won't eat it the next day. I might, but then the next day, will I really eat it again? Probably not. I want to do something else. So I think it's like that with everything in life, and I don't think you have to get so bent out of shape that worship is such a... It's really just music with lyrics and a way for us to kind of connect with the Lord, and you don't want things to become stale, so you can put it on the shelf. It's just to me, I might be completely off pad here, but I think, you know, you want to have variety and you want to be able to enjoy it, and it's like food or anything else in life that's really cool, you know, that you can enjoy. I don't know. That's my thoughts. What do you think?
Well, I never had a mullet, but I did have really long hair with that was kind of like shaved underneath, you know? So I understand what you're saying. It was very cool at the time, but maybe not so much now. But I do think when it comes to music, one of the things that we deal with as worship leaders is that language changes, right? Like there are things that we say, words that have meaning now that didn't necessarily mean the same thing 10 years ago. There have been a few words taken away from me just because of the way culture has changed that I'm still a little upset that I'm not allowed to say anymore. Like there's a couple words that I'm like, that was never bad. That was just one of my favorite words. And now I can't say it because different meaning. No, I cannot. It wasn't anything super bad. It wouldn't get me like arrested or anything, but it would like things that now I used to say, people would say like, that's impolite. You shouldn't say that. But there is that thing of when language changes and it's like, so I can't use that word anymore. So now I have to use different words to say the same thing I meant before. Right. And so when I use those different words, those different things mean things. I love, there's a comedian who always talks about like not overusing hyperbole, where he says, it's like, you know, he's saying like amazing. Like, it's like one thing if you're saying like, okay, your firstborn son, that experience was amazing having that child, but it's like too bad. You already used amazing on a hamburger. So like, what are you going to say now? You know? And so we're always trying to describe an indescribable God. And there are words that pass through our time. I sometimes lean more towards like, I like to write songs that speak more specifically because they have more meaning in this moment. You know, like we like to pull things from the Bible. You know, I've probably used this example before, but you know, we talk about like, oh, you know, when we pray for healing, we pray, you know, God will make the lame to walk and the blind to see. And I understand that that's like in scripture, but I don't know a lot of, and I'm not saying there's not anybody, but like, I don't know a lot of blind and lame people. I know so many people fighting cancer. Like, why aren't we writing songs about cancer? You know, and let's say that's cancer true. Gets cured in the next, you know, God willing, cancer gets cured in the next 5 years or something, right? Well, it's going to be super weird for us to then be sitting there singing about this song about cancer, right? Like, it's just... things pass through, and it's like, and if you're writing songs, like God is unchanging, but we are changing all the time. And so having songs that speak to our current moment and give us words and give us expression to sing those things to God in a way that, you know, God can teach us through them, I think is really valuable. And you know, there's songs like, I mean, I write songs all the time, and there's songs that were very great, like were good for the particular moment that my church was in. And it's like, now we've kind of moved past that. So that's not as relevant. And so I don't, so, you know, sometimes I'll bring it out if it makes sense, but it was real strong in the catalog earlier. And now it's like, you know, my buddy's like, man, you just need to like, you have such a catalog. You need to just start recording things so that we can have them. Cause you just kind of move on from them. And I'm like, well, I move on from them after like a couple of years. So, you know, I guess there's people that still like to do those songs, but that'd be my answer is I think we're always trying to look for things that are connecting, are finding ways to connect people with God. And we always see things through a filter of culture and society and everything. So anyway, that's what I would go with. Like as you said, I could be way off pad on this, But I don't know what pad, I don't know what pad you're talking about, but
Way of Pat. Have you ever heard that before?
I have. Oh, Way of Pat. No, I have not.
I don't even know what it means, but Pat? I said it. I don't know. I don't even know what it means. That's just a saying.
Okay. Hey, here's a quick one. Jonathan Bulger asked another one. I just got to throw this one in. He goes, if your bassist isn't warming up by playing Smooth Criminal, is he really a bassist at all?
That's amazing. That's my son's that birth one. Was amazing. That was incredible.
What song do you warm up to? What's your go-to?
Billie Jean.
Strong Michael Jackson bass.
Yeah, I like Michael Jackson bass lines. I think they're really cool. I don't know. I warm up. I don't even know if I do warm up. I just get up there and play with Chris McClarney.
Well, it's good to be back. I'm super glad we're doing this. We have a bunch of great interviews lined up. This was just the first of many. Daniel, it is so good to get to hang with you.
So much fun.
I basically created a podcast so we could hang out. And
that's perfect.
And super glad to have you. Guys, if you want to hang out with us more, you can always hit up worshipartistry.com, where you can learn 5-piece arrangements of worship songs taught specifically for those parts. And when they come together, they sound amazing. You can go sign up for a free trial over at worshipartistry.com. Check it all out. Or if you like this podcast, by all means, it would be super helpful if you would go and give us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's just super helpful for helping us get exposure out there. And of course, if you like something, if we've started a conversation for you, would love it if you would share it with other people. It just kind of gets the whole thing going. So, Daniel, I'll see you next week, man.
Catch you later, man. Looking forward to it.